This is tape two, side one of an interview with Mr. Tom Dupree. We're talking about the long work day. I would suspect by the time your mother had worked all day, she wasn't too very excited about fixing a big dinner.
Yeah, well, see, they get up in the morning. Back in my day, they get up in the morning early, and they got a work to do. He thought I'd have to fix your breakfast. Now, you're going to get your breakfast. She fixed that. She'd take her coffee out to the branch. She'd get on there, and he'd bring them clothes as she started washing out. She wasn't going to quit till she washed that family washing out. Get them on the ground. If it took all day at it, she'd done it. It took a half a day, or took whatever time it took to get it done. But now, we'd take that dime and go get us something to eat, me and my sister.
But not your mother. You didn't get her anything.
Well, she had that coffee.
Yeah.
That's all she wanted, her coffee, until she get ready to go back to the house.
Well, you said that in contrast to your mother, your Aunt Amelia would wash at people's houses. Would she eat lunch while she was there?
Well, if they give her, yeah, she'd eat that with them. They'd sit on it, give her something, they'd cook, feed her.
Most days?
Yeah, all of them, just about, they'd cook and feed.
What about your other four aunts? Did any of the rest of them do laundry work?
No, they done housework, as far as I know, about all of them. Mm-hmm. All of them. He said, and Tina, she worked for Compton or Mr. Stackhouse and them till she died. And Doula, she washed and cooked for different people. And then sister, she kept her own house. She was married, she had a bunch of children. I heard him wait to Compton. She stayed at home. Don't know where he's trying to.
What was her husband's name?
Where was he from?
What was her husband's name?
Johnny Whit.
Mm-hmm. What type of work did he do for the college?
I think we were on the powerhouse, I think. He fired at the powerhouse, he's fired at the powerhouse.
Did working at somebody's house for cooking and cleaning, did that pay any differently than laundry?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you think it paid more?
It paid a little more. Mm-hmm. You see, the most of them people work around something, work by the mark.
Mm-hmm.
Most all the people around there work for the college, work by the mark.
You mean the college employees?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They wake up at the college, see, they paid by the mark.
Mm-hmm.
And anywhere from what I, and all around, $12 to $15 a month. Mm-hmm. That's about what the average person made over here.
Apparently back then, a lot of the college houses had small houses for people who worked for them.
For seven, yeah.
Were they right by the bigger house?
Just right off. The little two-room house, what there was.
Mm-hmm.
See, and you worked for me, or you stayed, and I worked right at them. They stayed first.
Do you remember any of the people who lived over in those houses on the college?
No. Well, Meg Whit, I never met her. Well, she did. And the lighter servant, she stayed in there, she did. I don't know nobody that I remember lived in those houses living now.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you remember any other people who aren't living who worked over there?
No waits over there.
Mm-hmm.
No, not too many of them. Viola William worked over there. And Bessie Gant worked over there for years. Austin agrees she worked there a long time. Pep he did. Piccolo Holmes, he worked over there till he retired. Not too many people that were around at that time, they all just about gone.
Mm-hmm. Whatever happened to all those old houses?
And how did they throw them down?
Just, did anybody get them, or they just get torn up?
No, they tore them up. You see, in our Clemson, now, see, back in them days, all professors lived in the college house. They had houses all over for professors, and they wives. They lived there, and they hired labor. But after something, I don't know what happened. She had done away with all those houses. The professors had to get the home to their own. They had to move out from there. They used to be, see, all the professors for the city had home, lived in the college house.
What did they do with the professors' homes? They tear those down too?
That's what I know. Most all of them tore down. They've got buildings all around there now where their homes used to be.
So they didn't move them off and use them somewhere else?
They tore them down, most of them. Most of them, they tore them down. All where all them big buildings around it, they used to be professors' houses. And you take up there where the Clemson house is now. That was just a small hotel, they call it. Well, now, they got houses. I mean, they tore down how they got that building, Clemson house, sitting where houses used to be. All them down through there. I remember when they had a little servant house scattered all around Clemson there, where them big buildings is now.
On an interview that Bill Greenlee did years ago with Mr. J.C. Littlejohn, he talked a little bit about the Calhoun slave cabins.
Yeah.
Were they still around when you were a child?
Well, he was, Bill.
Were the cabins still around when you were, the slave cabins?
The Calhoun, right?
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
They had been gone by the time you got
here. Yeah, all them gone now. Yeah. What few I know about.
But go ahead and tell us about Bill Greenlee, if you will.
I didn't know much about Dr. Bill. I knew him. Uh-huh. And he worked up at the college. I worked around the college something from time I knowed him until he dead. But he had a wagon. He worked at he drove a horse and wagon down there. Well, all the college when I first remember was handled by horses and wagon, mules and buggies, and drag pans and wheelers, such stuff like that. And you take that ball field over there, that is great out there with mules and wheelers. Men power, mostly. Six mules pulling a plow, flying up that way.
I understand there used to be a quarry over on the college property. Did you know where that was?
A quarter.
Quarry for stone.
Quarry.
A place where they cut stone at, over on the college land.
No, not that it was.
One of the other old photos around the college shows the Frewsters working for Thomas Clemson. Do you remember the Frewsters?
Yeah, I remember the Frewsters.
Tell me about them, if you will.
I don't know much about them, but I remember them. Man, Jimmy Frewster, he worked for the college farm barn. He worked some time. I didn't big enough to remember until he died. He worked at the college farm barn.
But these may have been his parents, because they were working for Clemson back in the 1880s.
Well, that was his parents. He used to work for
old Mr. Clemson.
Old man Clemson.
Uh-huh.
And it was Calhoun. I've heard Uncle Bill himself talk about Master Clemson and the Calhoun. And then the another set that he used to talk about. Dr. Lewis. He used to talk about him a whole lot. Now, I know him. I've seen him, man, Dr. Lewis. I remember when he was, when they was grading that ball field out there, he was a big shot there in Clemson. Him and Clint Skill were the big men around Clemson at that time.
Where did the old Frewsters live?
They lived what they called down there, the dream that I knew about, they lived down there where they, down the low end of the ball field. Yeah, it's the ball field down. Going on to Seneca on the old road.
Mm-hmm.
Go down there where they call the Goodman, the old Goodman place, and the fruits where they all live. Down there they used to have a, well, all that place is tore down. All them houses and everything are tore down. It's down in there. If you'd never know, then you wouldn't know how to get all around there. It's right there where the Clint Taylor old place, and back in there.
Was it on the college side of the road or the
Clint Taylor? Yes, on the college side. Mm-hmm. But see, they have a slaughter pen, it said, and all that stuff back in there. Well, then they fruited and all, they tended to that.
Mm-hmm.
And tended to the hogs and things back in there, the way I understood it. There's an academic fruister and a last fruister and a mother fruister. Now, last fruister, he waited for the bogs and pains, Mara Payne. They said he worked for them. And I didn't know him, and I heard him talk about him. That he drove a hack or something. Jerry Payne, he run the Libby's stable over in the Calhoun project. At that time, right here at the depot.
He worked?
Jerry Payne, because.
Yeah.
Who
else worked for him?
Yeah, man, life was worked for him.
Anybody else worked for him that you recall?
No, I heard them talk about them. I didn't know them. I heard them talk about them, but I didn't know them. None. I know the man. I see the man last through a time or two, but he done got the old man then. Like Jimmy Fuster, to his brother, I knew him well. But he got a bunch of children. Children live over here on the side now. Some of his children do.
You were talking about the livery and about everybody hauling things earlier. Who do you remember having the first car around town? The
car?
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember, the first car I remember was first Shanklin.
Mm-hmm.
Lived over on Clapton Heath Professor.
Mr. Shanklin.
Had the first car I could remember and talk about bringing in this part of the country.
Who were the first black people you recall having a car?
First black people had a car around here. I believe it was Erskine Reed. I believe it was. I think it was Erskine Reed, the first one to remind or remember Erskine Reed.
Do you remember what kind of car it would have been?
It was a female Ford.
Recall that.
Black female Ford, from I remember.
Well, let's go back to when you're growing up. You're working hard helping your mother with the laundry. Did you have any time left over for playing?
That's all you did, more time. See, all you washed, you tote and hang them clothes and keep that fire for them. Do that. Now, you had all that time to play, but that's all you had to do was play.
Well, what types of things would you do?
What type of things would you do, Daddy? What type of things would you do?
Oh, back in them days, you just country playing. Just out there in the country, just do. But now, most of I had to do was mind a cow.
Mm-hmm.
My mother kept hogs. She raised hogs and cows for the first year. Now, I had to mind that cow when I wasn't doing something else. You didn't have no path. You had a rope on you. Came out there in that grass. Straight out there with the tree.
The grass down by the spring anyway, or where?
Anywhere was grass at.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like it is now. You could mind your kind of anybody's yard anywhere with the grass.
Mm-hmm.
People wasn't so tricky about stuff like they are now.
Did you ever play with the white kids?
My little.
What about your sister? Did you and she play together or?
Yeah, me what kids did we do play? If my mother went to somebody's house to wash, she can't. Well, if the children were there, we'd play with them like that. But just to leave out to go play, no, you do that. If she went to somebody's house to wash, I'd do something she can't me with. You get to play around there with them. I used to go up and tuck wash quite. Me and Pete working, and I was another boy, me and him, and we used to play together a whole lot. Me and Pete. Well, Pete was, not until he died, he was a good friend of mine. He'd come around and see me every once in a while until he died. I weld on work. He married a wife and daughter. A sister of Pete, right? But all that whacking, I think, is about dead now, to my knowing.
You're talking about the cow. Did your family have chickens?
Yeah, chicken, hog. You see, we had our own chicken, own hog, cow, all that kind of stuff.
Did you slaughter your own hogs? Somebody else do that for you?
Yeah, somebody else. After I got grown, I beat it, but I didn't for a lot.
Big vegetable garden?
Yeah. I had a nice vegetable garden. I raised vegetable garden up until a year or two ago.
When you were a child, would your mother and you and your sister be able to provide all the food you needed, or would you have to buy stuff?
Oh, we buy stuff. We never did raise all the food we needed. We had to buy stuff.
Where'd you go shopping for that?
Find you at a meal store, and sometime you go to Central, and sometime you go to Pilgrim's Mile Hunters.
Would you pay cash or buy on credit?
Oh, you'd pay cash. Have the cash. Yeah, now credit people did have credit all right. They took the folks that had farms out. They run what they call a lien. I never did know much about that lien business.
Mm-hmm.
But I found out a whole lot about that. See, they would punish you. It started punishing in March, and March, April, and May, and June, they'd give you this. Now, you would work on what they call a budget, I'd call it. You'd have to take care of your farm stood for that. And now when you gather this farm, if you made enough to pay it, over where you had some left. If you didn't, then you didn't have nothing to grow into. Or the winter time gonna catch you there. And then you had to go out there and cut wood. And that's the biggest thing they had for you to do. Or go somewhere where they're digging a ditch or something like that. To make a little money to keep your family going through the winter. Because you done used up what your crop supposed to made, but you didn't get nothing for your crop. That was like cotton with a big project. You make a year's grow on cotton if you're going to get 10 cents a pound for it. I mean, not 20 cents or 30 cents. Come down, you get 5 cents. Don't you? Now, you done made a $20 debt for 5 cents pay. And that's where poor people, that's what kept people so poor.
Well, that's what the lien system meant. They leaned on you.
Yeah. Now, that farm business, you see, and cotton was all was your prospect to pay it. Well, now, when they figure, if people up north figure you out down here, and they know he got a price to pay that. We ain't gonna give him a so-and-so, he got to sell it.
Where would folks around here take their cotton to sell?
At the Central and Pendleton.
Those were the nearest places.
Yeah, well, see, they had a gin there. Mm-hmm. They gin this cotton in Bailey at Central.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had an oil mill that Pendleton's still there. Yeah, at Pendleton.
Mm-hmm.
They gin it and all that. Then they had a buy there, you see.
Well, you talked about going to the Smith store to buy. Did you ever shop at the other store, the Bog store?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Shop there, but it wasn't a Bog at that time.
Morgan?
No, it was Morgan, it was a Central. But I don't know who owned that Bog store at that time, but the fella Holden was working in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Holden he was working. It wasn't my two stores. Three stores from out in the day. Sloan had one over to Clemson. And, it was over to Calhoun, too, but it was over there to that. And the Smith had his. And Mr. Holden had that one. The two stores right there at Calhoun.
How would you decide whether you were going to the Smith or the Holden store? Well, did they carry different things, or?
You didn't have nothing to sell. You just went down and buy what you had. Either one of them, you'd take an ordinary. Which one you got to first?
So you could get pretty much the same thing at either store.
Yeah, about the same thing. Only that Smith, he had more groceries. And Holden them had dry goods. Back in that day, you had a fresh family. And now the store sold everything. See, what it means is the family needed. You wanted shoes, clothes, and food. See, they sold all of that. They had the yard dress cloth, they had big shells of cloth, and that. Had stacked shoes on this side, and other stuff they had there. See, your groceries on this other side. Mm-hmm. And now you trade at this store, you get everything you needed there.
A lot of the old stories about the store, the penny candy, did you do that along with your nickel or dime for lunch?
And you get all that kind of stuff. Now you get a nickel worth of candy in them days. You had more than you get now for a dollar. Dad, I have been to the store. Many of them get a nickel worth of candy. It's like for me and my sister eat that thing all the morning. And we hide it under the house. People talk about sanitary, and then we hide it under the seal. Kick it up under the seal of the house. The house back there, big old seals. Did underpin no house or nothing like it. You stick it up on that seal there. You go back there tomorrow the next day and get it. It wasn't no worms, no bugs, no. You'd eat it. As you talk about sanitary, I don't know. I don't understand it.
Did you do much swimming or hunting when you were a
no,
boy?
I never no swimming at all. Well, in fact, I wouldn't swim in much back in them days. Now, 12-mile river down here was all we had, the biggest water we had. Sometimes you could mind your walk across it. Played it with our Kiwi River down there. It's pretty good. Wasn't no water much back in them days. You could walk across the river most anywhere at certain times. But I didn't do no swimming, I can tell you that, no, sir. I went to the river once when I was five small, me and about 50 there when I won Sunday. One boy fell off in there and then got drowned. And I actually got drowned. I come out and then I didn't go back. No more water for me. I got through with my swimming right there.
When you were growing up, were there any things around the house that your mother particularly prized? Were there any things that had been her own mother's?
Yeah, right. Most. Around the house?
Yeah.
Yeah, she took care of her.
Did she have any of her mother's possessions? Any furniture or cookware or things like that?
No, I don't think so. You see, back in them days, boy, like, they didn't have nothing much to. I suppose when they got through with it, wasn't much that's left.
Did you have any old family photos of any of your family?
No, I ain't seen anything. Any of them anything? I did have some before I moved here over to her house, but after my mother died, I let the children take over that, and they, I don't know what they done.
Yeah, we have.
They made a weird one. See, I live in here. My mother stayed over there. I stayed over there with her for 5 years at night. And that's when she died. The first one to another just took what they wanted and what they didn't. We didn't bring nothing much here, and the old stuff.
Yeah, we have a photograph of a picture of her great-great-great-grandmother. I have that picture.
Goodness.
Now, as far as her name, I don't know what her name was, but she said she was an African lady. I can't remember the name, but I have I don't have it with me, but I had it at my house. But I do have that photograph.
Okay, well, I'd like to look at that later, and if we could copy it for our project.
Well, I'll bring it back in the morning. I do have that photograph. Going by what she told me, that's who it was. I don't know, and then I have a photo of her, of Granny, and then one with her and Uncle Bill and someone else. And but I do have that one photograph. And I was trying to find the one of Aunt Media. I have it, but I can't get my hand on it. My photo book, some of them has moved it. So I won't get hers for you right now either.
We've been talking mostly about when you were a child, when you were a man, what type of work did you do?
When I married.
When you were grown up?
Oh, I done this pitting work practically from one thing to another. There wasn't too much work like it is now for you to get a hold to. See, you take, back when I was growing up, most people had big farms. They had four or five renters, or five or six renters. And if he's a big man, he'd contract a little work somewhere out. He'd get a bunch out there to work. Well, say if you ain't doing nothing, you want to work a day or two, I'll give you 10 cents an hour. Sometimes less than that, if you want to work. You get out there, whatever he had to do. His old farm works. There wasn't no too much building like it is now and all that kind of stuff going on. When he did start the place with the man doing a little building, it's a smaller building, no big building going on.
So you might make something like 75 cents or a dollar a day?
That is the biggest problem. Yeah, it was hard to get that. You had to be a good worker to get a dollar a day.
Would you be paid by the day or at the end of the week?
Well, some of them paid by the day, some of them paid by the week. Mm-hmm. You get $5.50 if you make 5 days and a half, 10 hours a day.
Who were the biggest farmers around here?
Klinsky and then the Mice Hunter, Pilgrim. He owned a lot of land and a lot of farming going on. Klinsky, he owned a lot of place. He had a lot of farming going on. Gaines and Galloway, centrally, owned a whole lot. He had a lot of renters and houses on like that.
About the time when you were, say, 14 or so, there used to be a lumber mill, I think, down by the river. Opposite where the Holiday Inn now is.
Oh, that was called a boom place, they call it. Where they had, I don't want to tell you, in fact, it was an old place when I got big enough to me, but it was called Old Boom Place.
So there wouldn't have been much work going around there.
Well, what was going on was just for men only. Mm-hmm. See, young fellas didn't get much of that kind of work. They all called all the time with dangers, in which I guess that, from what I could see of that boom after I got bigger, it was a dangerous thing, I imagine. They used to float logs down the river. Mm-hmm. They'd cut them back in the mountain and float them down the river and catch them down there and saw the lumber and stuff. That's the way it was told to me. But wasn't no little old sawmill would get out here in the country. Instead of a mill just like, say, from this down here, right down there on that branch. Now, they set up a mill down there. How come me with this place? Now, this here was called, in here, was called the Smith Place. A man Smith owned, he must have owned about 150 or 200 acres. That he had all this surrounded in here. He wouldn't allow you to pick a brush on this place.
We talking about the same Smith as my grandfather?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Smith, Don Smith, owned that store down there. Mm-hmm. Wife owned the hotel. Now he owned all this in here. But he on Sunday morning, he'd walk here the old road into here. He walked this road, go down the railroad, back up the railroad, and he'd cross over, come around, you'd see him come along, walk all day Sunday down here on this place. See that you didn't get a brush and people would laugh at him, you know. Or he'd be going up this road and somebody going across there with a load of brush. Now I don't know how it happened or what happened, but he had this place, which is Smith's place, for years and years. But when he died, and John Vogt sold this place for $2,000. Mm-hmm.
Who bought it?
Johnny Newton.
Uh-huh.
Bought it for, he sold this place. I don't know who sold it, but anyhow, I know Johnny Newton bought it.
Did my grandfather farm any of this land or have it farmed?
Didn't
let it go to waste.
Didn't do nothing. Mm-hmm. It just a whole now prosperity, all I could say.
I've been told there was a rental house somewhere on the place. Do you know where that was?
Who did?
A rental house. House.
You had one used to sit up on that hill.
Is that up by where Bessie lives?
No, it's back up here. And it was outside the highway, across the highway there.
Over beyond Golden View.
Right over across this highway. You know, you come up the highway.
Uh-huh.
123.
Mm-hmm.
You sit right up on the hill there. The hill's graded down now, but you sit up on top. But now, he didn't have no rental house on this place. You see, there wasn't no... He just had a great big... It's a big farm. I mean, it's a big patch of woods. There wasn't no rental house. Well, yes, there was one house. You sit back up there on the edge, they bind it up somehow or another. Somebody bind it up.